PHP Radio
on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network,
your number one source for all things golf.
Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
Welcome, everybody, to the Worst Golf Podcast. Everybody wants to be the best. We strive to be the worst. When a bad take is necessary, we'll be here to share it with you. I'm your host, JB, and with me is Morgan. She spends most of her time off camera, but we've somehow convinced some people to come on and join us this week. I cannot understand why. But we have Adam Rank and Noel, who you guys know, joining us on the show. Welcome, guys.
Thanks Hello. For having us.
Yes. Before we get started, where can they find you guys on social media to follow if they're not already? I can't imagine that, but give a quick shout out to where they can find you.
You can find me at Adam Rank on Twitter, where I do a lot of my work. Instagram, Adam Rank NFL, because there's some kid named Adam Rankin in the UK who's squatting on my name on internet, on the Instagram, which really annoys me. But I got my own name on TikTok, so I feel like I've won. I beat him to TikTok, so I'm very happy about that.
That has an Adam F. Goldberg, Adam Goldberg ring to it from the show that involves my childhood somehow, which is kind of weird. Before we get started, I kind of want to say I learned something about you that you, first of all, for people who don't know, you've been at the NFL Network. It wasn't really the network back then for what seems like centuries, but
yeah,
you pulled the ultimate George Costanza to get that job. Can you kind of explain to people how that worked?
I need to hear
it's
this.
It's actually fascinating.
What happened was, is it was my college internship, and I ended up doing an internship there for 3 seasons. And on the third one, I had already graduated. And normally, you know, you get a send off, you get a little swag. They'd bring in Tito's Tacos, even though I didn't really like Tito. Anybody who's in West LA, like Tito's Tacos, overrated. Go to Cinco de Mayo next door. It's way better. In any event, after my third season, there was no send off. There was no swag bag. There was nothing. And I was sitting at a bar in Newport Beach by the name of Cassidy's drinking. And I told my buddy, like, you know what? I'm just going to show up tomorrow. Like, what's the worst that could happen? Like, we have a little awkward exchange because I still had my key card. Actually, I don't even think we had key cards back then. I think I walked in through the receptionist. I'm like, it's going to show up. And sure enough, I walked through and Lacey, who was the receptionist, said, hello. I walked in. My supervisor was on vacation for 2 weeks. So I'm like, well, at least I get 2 weeks of more pay because it was a paid internship. So I'm like, at least I'll get paid for 2 more weeks. This will be sweet. And then sure enough, he shows back up, walks by my office Monday morning, three weeks later. He's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, Peterson's got me working on this trading card set for Ron Mix. And he just goes, and he just walks off. I'm like, all right. And then 6 months later or so, you know, I just kept up this charade. And then eventually he shows up with a little yellow post-it note. And he's like, hey, I got to talk to you, but we can't be an intern forever. And I'm like, well, it was a fun run. And he's like, no, we're just going to hire you. And gave me a little post-it note with the amount of money I was going to make. And looking back on it now, I should have held out for a little bit more money. But in any event, I was part of NFL Publishing at that point. And then I sort of looked. There were some lost years. But yeah, but ever since then,
that's here amazing. I am.
So I apologize to everybody. Everybody who's upset, who hates seeing me on the NFL Network. Like, this guy, this Chuck Garrity. Allowed him to get away with this.
When you were there, obviously fantasy football was going on, but it was kind of in its infancy. I remember my father, who's in his 80s now, playing it 45, 50 years ago. Mm-hmm. Are you more of an NFL fan or a fantasy football fan?
I think that it kind of goes hand in hand. I think that we're always watching football. We're always trying to find new ways to dissect it. And the cool thing, too, is I've been starting to do a lot more work with Total Access, working with a lot of the former players and just getting their perspective on things and working hand in hand. It's funny because Scott Pioli, the architect of the great, or one of the architects of the great Patriots dynasty, you know, their war against fantasy. So it's been interesting to pick his brain and kind of see, you know, how they operate and getting a little insight on how the Patriots use their running backs and things like that. So I really do believe that ultimately, I'm a football fan. Like, I love the sport. Like, I watch it. Like, it's not like I just look at the spreadsheets after. I've known people like that who don't watch the games, who just look at spreadsheets. But no, I actually watch the games and enjoy it. So I would consider myself an NFL fan first.
Because a lot of people who are, I'll call them NFL orphans, they don't have a favorite team. Fantasy yeah. makes a lot of sense. You can kind of dive into players, things like that.
In your case, absolutely.
You're a diehard. You're a diehard Bears fan.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's dumb of me. But Noel will attest. Although, listen, Noel, I watched the preseason. I see Jordan Love. They're out there showing highlights. Look at this. Look at this overthrow Jordan Love made. I'm like, really? This is what you guys are talking about? But I will say this. For a lot of kids growing up in Southern California, where we did not have a football team, fantasy football was a great way to keep everybody entrenched in the sport and really, you know, still continue to have an interest in it, where normally you wouldn't because we didn't have a team. But thankfully, the NFL is also a huge TV event. Like, it's almost better. Like, it's to the point, like, when, you know, I get offered tickets and you're like, mostly because I don't want to miss the other games that are going on.
That's why we did the same thing. We turned down tickets for that very reason. She wants to sit in front of it and watch every single game that's on TV.
Yeah, and I have like my tablet. I have my laptop so I can follow all the stats, so I can follow my players, so I can watch the games at the same time. Like, I much prefer that.
You know, there's not a drunk guy sitting behind you spilling a $18 Michelob Ultra on you. Like, okay, I get this.
So, Noel, do you play?
Play football?
Obviously.
For a living.
No, football. Fantasy football. Do you play? You follow Adam's career and have his, you have him on speed dial. You could have all the notes or you could watch him on TV every day.
I do. No, I do. I follow my husband's, but I don't like myself actually play fantasy. But
have you shared with Adam your favorite team?
That's how it starts.
Yeah, he knows.
We were just talking about that a second ago when I was making fun of Jordan Love.
Yeah.
I'm very familiar. We have it's weird because she went to Long Beach State. I should say she played golf at Long Beach State as well. I went to Cal State Fullerton. She's a Packers fan. I'm a Bears fan. She likes, who's your baseball team? Oh, the Brooklyn Dodgers. I like, by the way, I just noticed this the other night. How is the Dodgers, their little hashtag? Now for the Angels, it says hashtag going Angels. And the logo shows up and it's cool. And the Dodgers is hashtag always LA. And I'm like, how is the team from New York hashtag always LA? I don't know. You have a lot of great history in Major League Baseball, obviously, but I would have, there was not one person in the marketing department who's like, hey, by the way, did anybody realize we're from Brooklyn? No. Okay. Just do it.
So when we move,
he's just angry that the Angels can't play nearly as well as they should with their roster.
So. Oh, we can. It was amazing when we got rid of Jeremy Reed, how well that team was playing. Oh, he comes back. What happened? What was the difference here? Oh, okay.
So when we moved into this place in Florida, we decided we were going to set up this football room. We have the autographed jerseys and stuff on the wall. Most of them are not really athletes like Willie Beeman with Jamie Foxx and stuff are on there, but we had a hole in the wall. And I got to share this so the audience can laugh at me a little bit. And for those listening, not watching, you're missing nothing.
Could I just state hole in the wall? You mean like a blank spot?
Not an actual
hole in the wall.
So I said, you know, I'm going to buy a mystery box online of a signed jersey. Let's put up whatever we get.
Oh, nice.
It
was a Pro Bowler. So I was like, okay, we're getting a decent player. Now, this is what was sent to me. And it's upside down. I couldn't give this to his parents. I got the only Pro Bowl signed punter jersey ever.
Jason Horsted?
Morstead from
Morstead.
From the Saints. Now Saints. I think the Dolphins. But
yeah,
what are the odds that Pro Bowl sick player jersey. And I get a punter?
That's what you get for having a Willie Beeman jersey out.
It could be. It's very possible. We have Roy Kent too, if that one helps at all.
That's nice. That's a good one.
How did you get involved with golf? Have you been playing for years and this is just a passion, or is it something that came later?
No, I've always grown up in and around the golf course. I lived off of, we lived off Mountain View Country Club in Corona, California, which is now defunct. It was a beautiful place. And we also used to play football on the 16th fairway, which now looking back on being like, we were the biggest idiots. Like I can't even imagine. like being at Big Rec or something and being like, who are these morons playing golf or playing football in the middle of this golf course? But I always loved it. And it's always something that I, you know, depending on the time, when you're in college, you kind of don't have the money to go do that. And then when you're starting out embarking on a young career, you don't always have the money to do that. But I always played. And even if it was, you know, doing nine holes at Bixby or Little Rec or something like that, I always played. I should be better for the amount of time that I play. But, you know, it's one of those things that's always been a part of my life. And my dad was a huge fan. So it was real easy to the only problem was lining up is that when I took my dad's, I guess it was my mom's set of clubs. And I'm like, God, the only club, what's up with these clubs? Like the only one that makes sense to me is this 2-iron. And my dad's like, yeah, you got to turn around, genius. Those are right-handed clubs. So I had to learn how to golf righty. And now as an adult, it's too late for me now. It really bums me out that I'm not a left-handed golfer.
But have more access to equipment.
That's what I was going
to
say.
That's what, when I started working with Trixon, that's what they told me. They're like, you're better off even nowadays. Because when I was a kid, Phil Mickelson was just starting out. So Phil Mickelson wasn't, you know, a prominent name in the sport. So the only left-handed set was a dusty set of Hulks that cost triple the price at Ken Crane's golf shop or whatever it was. My dad's like, yeah, I'm getting a new set and you're going to get my old ones. I'm like, that makes now as a parent, I'm like, yeah, I get that. Because he knew he was going to keep playing. Like you know what I'm saying? Like he's obviously going to play. Kids love something 1 minute and then the next week you're like, yeah, I'm over it. So I could see like not wanting to spend $1,500 on a set of left-handed golf clubs on your sort of flaky son. Like it makes sense. Like he made the right call.
So how did you get involved with Strixon?
You know, I have always been a fan of Strixon Cleveland. Cleveland wedges, of course, have been very iconic over the years. And they also have, I used to love my old set of drivers were the launcher. Love the launcher, the Cleveland launcher. And then, you know, I was getting back. I needed a new set of clubs because I used to play with these at the time. They were high-end, like Wilson Deep Red. Nice club. There were nice clubs back in the day, but after 20 years, you're like, okay, maybe I can upgrade a little bit. And, you know, Strixon Cleveland has an operation in Huntington Beach, and I needed to get fit. I want to get fitted. And I live by the office and you drive by it. I would drive by it going to drop off my kids at preschool or whatever. And they had this cool, like you could see from the outside, it's like design center or like, where their hitting bay was. It was an indoor hitting bay. But you can see it from the outside. I'm like, that looks cool. So I'm like, I'll look up. I want to look. You look it up online and you think, let me see if this is, you know, if I can go get fitted here or whatnot. And then of course, being online, they're like, hey, be an influence or not an influence, like a team member or something like that. And I'm like, well, of course I'm going to sign up. Like, who knows? See what happens. And I got an email from some nice gentleman who was like, I can't help you out, but you know, we would love to introduce you to Noel if you would like that. And then ever since then, we've been friends, despite the fact that she's a Packers fan.
I always see the setup behind you and you have all the Bears hats and everything. And then there's that Strixon hat that usually makes an appearance.
Oh, look at that.
The question is, as we set this one up for you today with some helmets, how much time went into planning that background? What strategy is involved?
It's been a work in progress. I could go back and like show you pictures like a flip book, because for the longest time it was, I'm blocking it right now. I'm not in my proper, I'm off center a little bit, but the world's greatest dad, like Father's Day present was there, and then started adding some shelves and then started adding the hats. And then this thing came about, and if the camera's wide enough, there's a SmackDown chair here. There's another studio if I'm doing vertical video right here. So it's been a work in progress since 2020, since the pandemic started hitting us, and you just had to have your backgrounds all set up.
Yeah, you went from having like one Funko Pop behind you to about 50.
They grow, yeah.
Yeah, they do grow. They're like the Gremlins.
A little bit. No.
They grow. You should see his office. They grow.
Mm-hmm. So we have some Strixon golf balls up here. For each of you, which ball are you playing and why?
Ooh, I'm playing the diamond, so I love the Z-Star diamond ball. That's my go-to.
And Adam?
The Z-Stars are really nice, but Noel knows this. I'm very particular because, like, I'm very proud of not losing golf balls and finishing the round with the golf ball that I started, which, by the way, I was at Bixby the other day, and I know, I'm sorry. I tell Noel I don't use the good balls at Bixby. I won't. My favorite, actually, the ones I play the most are the divides. I think the divides are awesome. And even though Amanda Rose makes fun of me, I'm like, the divides are good golf balls. Like, they're Q stars. Like, it's a really good golf ball. And it also really does help with the putting. And, you know, I know I won't call out the person who does reviews who was like, oh, I don't like it when it's on the tee. But it's like, switch it. Like, switch it. Don't look at the divide. Pick one color. Like, I've been playing with the one that's like the Rams blue and yellow the most. So I always tee it up with the blue side up until I shank one. Then I'll switch it. But it's like, it's real. And it looks dope when it's in the air. Like, there's nothing better when it's flat. When you crush it, for me, crushing it. When I hit my 230-yard drive. But it looks dope. It looks really sweet when it's going out there. So I love it. So I really do. I do love the Q Star. If I'm playing big rec though, sometimes, because I do have some of the Z Stars. Those are nice. That's a nice golf. Even I still have a couple of diamonds. I don't really lose them. The diamonds are really nice too. It's high end. You know, if I want to look, I don't know. Sometimes
Adam,
you feel like
Adam sent me a text message. This was probably a couple months ago, but he was like, send me a photo of the ball. And he's like, day 18 going strong of like the ball that looked all messed up. And I was like, Adam, you know, I could just send you more golf balls. Like, he's just like, no, this, I'm playing this until I die. Like,
that is impressive. Day 18.
It was a point of pride. I was playing a lot of nines though. So it's actually like nines. It was like, you know, but I was playing nine holes.
Impressiveness. Yeah.
I was gonna say the other day I was playing Bixby. I was using one of the soft feels because I also have like the green boxes, soft feels, the colored one, because my kids got me some one day because it was Father's Day. And it's always like Noel says, I have access to a lot of things, but the kids, you know, they want to get you something. They're like, okay, cool. So they got me the orange and the yellow ones, which I like. I actually really like them, and they're actually perfect for Bixby. But I was playing one of the white soft feels, and I, of course, if you're familiar with the course, if there's one, so it's four, five, five. Five has the skinniest, it's a tabletop green, but it's super skinny. And when you land it, inevitably it falls off, and then it's all dirt. Like, I don't know why I play here, but it's all dirt. I know why. It's $10 and there's nobody there. And it's 6 a.m. and I can be done in an hour. And then it slides off into hole number 7 near their thing. And I was walking up, and there's a group of guys playing. And I'm like, I know these guys picked up my ball. I will bet $1 million. I told my friend Marty, said, I'll bet you $1 million one of these guys picked up my ball. Sure enough, I go looking for the ball. The guy's like, oh, goes in. He's got like this push cart with a huge like garbage bag thing attached to it. Pulls out a ball and hits one back to me. And I'm like, okay, it's cool. Thanks. He hit me a Mojo ball, a Nike Mojo ball. Like, come on. That thing had to weigh 20 pounds. It's like a 20-pound ball. I'm like, God, I go, technology has come such a long way. Like, this was the stuff. Like, this was such a great, like, people raved about this ball back in the day. I'm like, I traced him down in the parking lot. It's a soft feel. So it's like, you know, it's an entry-level golf. I still made him, like, look through that bag. I'm like, it's marked. It'll be marked with the, you know, the three dots, the two and one, the little honeycomb. I'm like, it's a Srixon 2 with a honeycomb design. I pulled out another one, said it just like this. I'm like, don't want this Mojo ball, sir.
Did you ever get your ball back?
I did. He's like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, why? Like, there's somebody out there. Like, you see that we're there. Like, it's one thing. Like, I still won't pick one up. Like, I'll be the only person on a course, and I'll be like, nah, this could be somebody. Like, I don't want it. And especially, and if it's a Titleist, I certainly don't want it. So I'm like, nah, whatever. TaylorMade. Nope. Jim Sias can grab the TaylorMades. I don't want them. Somebody dropped a box of TaylorMades. Like, there was a group of drunk guys in front of us when we were playing Shadow Ridge, and they took off and like a box of TaylorMade's just fell out of the cart. And I'm like, nah, that's cool. Then I just drove. So that's where I will be like, I don't need to do this. Fine product, I'm sure. There's people who are fans of it. But I forget my point. But I'm very particular. I chase down that golf ball. I'm like, no, I want this thing. Like, it's cool.
That's fantastic. So
we've gone over Noelle's What's in the Bag for our audience. And she shows them frequently with the pink paint fill and all. Including,
oh, I love those clubs.
Recently on Instagram. Now, there's a new driver that hit USGA conforming. We know Noelle's not going to comment on that. But I'm going to make the assumption that it's already in Adam's bag. But if it's not, can you tell us what's in your bag?
What do you mean?
What clubs?
I have a Srixon driver, the ZX5,
right,
which
there.
Is great. And I got the 5 wood, which is amazing. And when I first got it, I'm like, I finally, after a year, hit a bad shot with it. I was like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I've never been like, and it was, I don't know what happened to me. Sometimes you're out there and you're like, I forget how to play. And that's the big thing. And then I do have the Srixon irons, of course, and not the blades. Like, I'm not like, let's not be, I'm not the blades, but the ZX5s, which are amazing. And of course the Cleveland wedges. I go with a 60 is my go-to. I have a 60, a 50, and a 56. The 56 is my favorite because it's got the purple paint fill, but it's the one I hit probably the least. It's either 50 or 60, which these two clubs I love. And when I was playing the other day, I was on a hole. I was at Bixby where I was like, I accidentally hit my 50 when I should have hit my 60, flew the green on number 2. And I'm like, what happened? And I'm like, I got the wrong club. This is how long, like, I've been out of sorts lately. And then on 9, I landed in the sand trap. And I'm like, what happened? I had my 60 instead of my 50. I'm like, this is unbelievable.
Twice in a round. That's rare.
It is just so frustrating. But I would have been playing well otherwise.
What's the strongest part of your game?
You know what? I think because I have a green belt outside of my house, and I have these limited flight golf balls to which allow me to hit the 60, that I can hit a variety of shots with my 60 that are actually pretty good. And when, you know, when you're terrible, if you're good by the greens, you're fine. Yeah. You kind of hang with everybody because people, and then they want to count your strokes. Like, wait a minute. I'm like, okay, I was in the, and this is funny. Cause I get in the sand trap a lot. I'm like, I got out of the sand trap and my ball was this far from the hole. Like I'm one putting because I'm not landing on 2. I'm not landing on the green in 2, but I'm chipping close enough to where, you know, it doesn't hurt me too much. And I play a lot of bogey golf. So I play bogey. Every hole is a 5 for me. So if I get a 3 on a 5, I'm like, yeah, that's an eagle for me. Eagle 3 on this par 3. You're like, what? I'm like, eagle 3. It's a 5 to me.
So I see a bunch of wrestling behind you, and you make mention of it throughout during your time on television and in your podcast. Is every episode to you like your wrestling promo?
I look at everything. Everything is wrestling to me when it's on TV. Putting over, cutting a promo, like all that stuff. Like carrying, I should be carrying a belt. Like, who's the most over person at the network? Like, that's like who's the Rock of NFL Network? Is it Ian Rappaport? Is it Scott Hansen? Like, who is it? And who, you know, and trying to figure out who would be what.
That's quite the segment. You should do that.
Yeah. Who's over? Every time, because I always try to, and when I write for a lot of things too, I will use wrestling jargon, like put over. Like if the Bills put over James Cook this year, he's going to be a great fantasy option. And the editor's like, what does this mean? I'm like, put over. It's the person that they pick to win.
So we were talking before the show started because we do watch because she's diehard fantasy football. The funniest moments in the show's history, and we came up with 2. The first is a previous cast member, Akbar, who pulled his hamstring live on the air in some ninja outfit.
Yes.
And the second was your wife joining on.
Oh, yes.
What is the funniest moment you've had on TV?
I think any time that we break is always something that's very funny to me, where you're just kind of like, and it, you know, like when Jen showed up, that was funny because it's unexpected. Because they always try to do those gotcha moments. But I think that the ones that are just like super innocent, like I think it was one of the chill bras last year where the two ladies, where Cynthia and Kimmy could not stop laughing. And
I remember that.
It just stopped. Like it just, there's nothing you can do. And, you know, just having those, and as somebody who is a big fan of Saturday Night Live growing up, I know that Lauren Michaels hates when people break, and then Jimmy Fallon broke every, like, I don't want to go full Fallon. Like, that's always my joke. Like, don't go full Fallon on this segment or anything like that. But there's been times where the prompter stops and I'm like, I don't even know what we're doing. Like, I'll call it out. Like, it's very clear. Like, I'll have conversations with the producers who are they're in my ear and nobody else can hear them. And I'm like, what do you want me to say? Like the other day I was on there and I'm like, the producer was telling me stuff and I'm like, get out of my ear. And I took my earpiece out. I'm like, I'm not listening to him anymore. Because I think he was actually trying to talk to Willie. He wasn't trying to talk to me, but I'm like, get out of my ear. Just like dumb things like that. I do, when I do the hot sauce segment and I flip the cards, that all started one time because Andrew Hawkins wasn't paying attention. And so I just flung the card at him and it moved. Like it took off. And thankfully his head was down and it just buzzed the tower. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy that that did not connect, because otherwise that could have been a workplace injury. But yeah, there's been a lot of them.
When we think of fantasy football, and for those following along, we have the 7 leagues on our online community and they're drafting tonight. I have the biggest question that never gets answered, which is, why is there no standardization? You know, We talk about that with golf shafts. We talk about that with golf everything. In fantasy football, if you're doing a show, you're talking about this person had this many points, but who the hell knows if it's 1 point PPR, half PPR, no PPR? Like, why is there no standardization? And why isn't it half point PPR for standardization? Because everybody seems to use that.
Yeah, half point PPR is the way to go. Like, that is the number one thing. Like, it's the most, it doesn't overinflate receivers catching bubble screens all the time or running backs who get too many dump offs. And that is one of the things that in our show, I always tell them, like, can we just do number projections? Like, 8 recept, like, when I do GMFB, I always give them, and they were like, give us a projection. It's like 4 receptions, 79 yards, and a touchdown. That way, whoever's playing will know what that point total is for their own scoring system. So the yardage and the actual statistics should be the standard. That's why it drives me crazy when people are like, well, he scored 14 points. Like, I got literally in a huge argument with somebody, a previous cast member who was about this tall. And we were going back and forth. And I'm like, you know, he scored, you know, 24 points in this game. He's like, no, it was 18. Like, well, I'm like, what are you talking about? And I'm like going through and he's like, well, you're giving him 6 points for touchdown. And again, like, you're like, again, the lack of standardization. It is it's a big thing. It's something that bothers me. It's that and teeing off from the tees that are comparable to your skill set.
Yeah, slow play is the bane of my existence.
Can I tell you a story? I was at Meadowlark in Long Beach, and I was playing, and my buddy was out with me, and I'm a strict player. And if you know Meadowlark, I'll play from the white tees. I don't care how you look at me. The other three can play from wherever you want. But I'm like, this is my game. This is my skill set, and I'm going to do what I do. And then the other two guys who were joining us that we got put together were like, oh, well, yeah, we'll play white, like no big deal. And one of them was about my level. I think, you know, we both shot in the 80s. I was high 80s, by the way. It's like 89. So it wasn't like not super. So this other guy was like comparable. And by the way, I had 13 over the last. No, okay, don't go into the score. That's not the point of the story. But one of the guys who was playing at the end of the round was like, oh my gosh. And we're like, what happened? He's like, I broke one. Because he said early in the day, I've never played from the whites before. And then when we got done, he goes, this is the first time I ever broke 100. And I'm like, I'm going to need you to think about this. I need you to think about this real hard when you're talking about this round later. Like, what was different? He's like, well, I was driving well. I was like, yeah. But what was, you told me something on the third hole that it's like, I don't know. I'm like, you played from the white tees for the first time. He's like, oh, do you think that was it? And I'm like, I'll see you later, sir. I don't know what else I can do for you. Like, that's the whole point. Like, that's, it's okay.
we had an event with Noelle a few years back in Scottsdale, and I actually watched her defeat one of the longest drivers in the history of the world at Topgolf. It was pretty impressive stuff. I was blown away with her skill set, so much so that I'm going to challenge her to something later next year.
Don't even do that. Like, my favorite thing is her pinned tweet. I'm assuming it's still the top pinned tweet, where golfers are like, ah, the ladies' tees are up there. I think that's one of the things too. Like, if we could rid ourselves of the vernacular of ladies' tees and just start referring to it as the forward tees, the middle tees, blues or blacks or whatever, like get that mindset out of there. Cause I was staying in a place in India, and I was watching all these golfers and like so many people playing tees they shouldn't have played at and all that stuff. And it's like, God, why are you doing this to yourself? Why do you want to be this miserable? Like, golf's already very difficult. Why make yourself miserable?
That is the thing I always wonder too. Why? Do you have to beat your chest for it? Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
If I hear one more person say tip it out, I'm going to lose my mind. So yeah. Adam mentioned that he plays the ZX5. You'll see one sitting right here on the screen. Maybe we're in a small box here to this week, but we're going to give that away.
Ooh.
Before we wrap up, we have some fantasy football questions for Adam.
It's a great driver, by the way.
It is.
It really is nice.
Thank you.
When the show ends, you're going to leave a comment on one thing you disagree with that Adam said during this show. One thing. You can leave it on our forum, our website, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you want. Leave a comment where you disagree with Adam.
Oh, and I know what it, I already know it. I already know what it's going to be. Some guy's like, I'm playing from the tips no matter what, bro. That's what I do. It's my money. It's my money. I get to play where I want.
That sounds about right.
So you've been at the network or whatever the network was previously for a quarter of a century. Did you get a championship belt or Super Bowl ring or something to go along with that commemorative year?
They never recognize it. They never, like, it just comes and goes. There's a thing, if you walk around the NFL Network studios right now, there's a TV display with like, hey, Dane Sorenstam has completed 5 years. Jeff Blasucci, you know, year 10. You're like, that's sick. And like, and then my anniversary month is either, I think it's May. Trying to think. Yeah, it's May. Yeah, it is May. And then when May rolled around, I was like, oh, I wonder if I'll get, no, you got nothing.
I feel like if I had any sort of computer skills whatsoever, I would hack those monitors and put up nothing but a loop of Michael Florio dancing, sitting in his chair.
Yeah.
And he would play for 24 hours straight.
He's quite the dancer.
So we wouldn't be able to have you on here without talking fantasy football.
Yes.
And we know that our audience is waiting for tips. Can you kind of quick run down our league, your draft position? Because I know you want to know.
Okay. So we have a 14 team half point PPR.
Love it.
I'm drafting 7th.
Oh, geez.
Right in the middle. I know. I feel like I have this really in between where I could get a really good receiver. I could possibly still get a really good running back. I don't know which direction to go there.
Yeah, that's the problem, is because you're sitting there and the two people that you'll be debating about, you're only getting one of them. There's no chance that he comes back around. That's why I always feel like those are the, at least when you're on the button, like if you're picking 14th, you're like, well, the two guys that I want to choose, I'm choosing them and I don't have to worry about getting sniped or anything like that. For me, in situations like this, I always have a plan going into a draft, but I always am willing to adjust on the fly. And this year I've been trying to load up on running backs with my first two picks, where depending on where I'm drafting, I've gotten a lot of 1.01, which has been amazing. One of them was deserved because I came in last place in the league last season. And the others have just been random. And so I take Jonathan Taylor every time. I haven't varied from that. And I thought about it yesterday. I put that out on Twitter, on Tuesday. Thought about it. People are like, no, do what you got to do. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. So if I'm at 7, again, my idea would be hopefully that I'm going to get a running back, hoping that Dalvin Cook is going to fall that far, because I really believe in the Vikings offense.
Oh yeah. Me too this year.
Kevin O'Connell coming over. And if you think about Todd Gurley, his first couple of years in the NFL playing with Jeff Fisher, He was okay. He was not a bad player. But his first season with Sean McVay was his best year of his career. Dalvin Cook is going to have a similar type of output this season, and it's also why I love Justin Jefferson. And it's the two Vikings guys right here that's like, well, you're going to get a Viking. You could end up missing out on both of them, so I don't want to get your heart set on it. But
I feel like Jefferson's going to go early. Like
he could. He should be the first wide receiver off the board, even ahead of Cooper Kupp. I know everybody's banking on Cooper Kupp, but Noel, I want to know what you think about this. Is it my imagination, or have the Rams really been celebrating their Super Bowl title? Like, I don't know if it's just because we're out here, but it feels excessive. I don't know if you got that impression.
It is very excessive. I mean, I have to also be a fan just because being in LA now, but right. They definitely are. But hey, why not? You did win a Super Bowl.
What do you think the St. Louis fans think?
I'm a St. Louis. Like, isn't it? Like, honestly, I don't
genuinely because like they won a Super Bowl while they were there and then the team leaves and they won. Are they still rooting for him? Like, I know Lions fans rooted for Stafford even though he wasn't there anymore.
Yeah, there's a prominent fantasy football analyst who's a friend of mine named Stepmom Lauren, or that's her handle, Lauren Carpenter. And she hates the Rams. And I'm like, why do you hate the Rams? And she's like, well, because they moved from St. Louis. And I go, isn't the goal of everybody from St. Louis to eventually move out of that godforsaken town? Like, that's the goal. Like, Albert Pujols couldn't wait to get out of there. Like, that, the most famous person from St.
That's the entire Midwest.
Yeah, just wanted to get out of there. And so I don't understand why you're upset at them for bettering their lives. I remember distinctly when the previous owner, when they won that Super Bowl in St. Louis, is she got up there and instead of being like, hey, and to our fans in L.A., thanks for sticking with us. She's like, screw you, L.A. We did the right thing. Like, oh, my God. I mean,
to be fair, the Rams were L.A. It's not like the Chargers won where the San Diego fans are super bitter still, and I get that.
Yeah.
But the Rams were L.A. Them winning in St. Louis, you know, didn't really fit.
No, it didn't. And St. Louis, you know, outside of baseball, isn't really a championship town. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that's where Gretzky goes to play a year, and you go like, oh, yeah, I forgot he played there. You're fine. You're a baseball city. You shouldn't have any other sports. I guess the Blues do well, but whatever. You're good. You don't need a basketball team. You're fine. You're baseball. You're great. Great work with baseball.
You feature teams, you know, owners like Morgan and others on the show, and you splash up teams. And I'm always like, are they in a 3-man league? Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
Here?
Some of these rosters, like seriously, how do they have those players?
I think there's a lot of keepers. There's a lot of keepers. I had a keeper league. It was a number of years ago that when you looked at it, it was the sickest roster of all time. Now it's, you know, Antonio Brown, Calvin Johnson, like, okay, it's not the same. Like, obviously guys retire and things like that. So there are dynasty teams like that. There are 8-person leagues, which are also very, you know, tough. I honestly believe that eight team leagues, and everybody always makes fun of it, but I'm like, that is significantly more difficult because your lineup questions every week are almost impossible because every player is good. When you're playing in a 14 team league, you're like, okay. I'm starting Amon-Ra St. Brown. He's my wide receiver one. Like, I don't have a choice.
Go ahead.
No, please.
I was going to say, we used to do 16 team leagues, and then we actually moved to 14 team leagues. All of a sudden, I thought I had studs on my team because 16 was impossible.
What's the one player outside of Pierce for Houston, which was at one time a sleeper until the last preseason game, that people are saying, yeah, late rounds, big leagues, that's you got to grab this guy.
I would tell you that even though he's battled injury concerns for the entirety of his career, Raheem Mostert deserves to be picked up and be rostered because the times he does play, it's going to be amazing. It's like back in the day when you used to go to Guns N' Roses concerts and you'd be like, if Axl actually shows up, the show will be amazing. He might not. It's a risk. We could go home empty handed, but I think Raheem Mostert, and it costs you nothing. He's going in the 12th round. I get a lot of Mostert. I get a lot of Nico Collins from Houston.
Oh, I like him.
Yeah, love him. I love rookie running backs and second-year wide receivers. There's always a breakout. And I will tell you, and I know that you didn't because nobody reads anymore, but I wrote a series this season or every season called State of the Franchise. And I went back to my Houston one and pulled up the little blurb where it says, and this was written in June, May, at least the June at the latest. And it was like, oh, by the way, if you're a fantasy fan, pick up Dameon Pierce this season. And that is one of the reasons why I do not like doing drafts this time of year. And people are like, I want to know the injuries. It's like, you know what, though? I want to be the person who knew about Dameon Pierce, you know, months ago. I'm in the Scott Fish. Listen to me brag. Listen, I can't come up here and brag about my golf. Like, I can't sit here and be like, yeah, I was out driving all these guys. It's like, hey, I once, you know, broke 90. I feel great about myself. But I'm in the Scott Fish Bowl. I set my lineup recently because I have Dameon Pierce. I'm like, oh, that's the thing. I threw out that gauntlet for all you hipsters jumping in on the Dameon Pierce bandwagon. If he's not on your Scott Fishbowl team, I don't want to hear it. Like, I was rooting for Dameon Pierce back when Scott Raynor was the drummer, which is a very obscure reference to not an obscure band, but do you know the band? You know the reference?
No, I don't.
Nobody knows. It's Scott Raynor was the original drummer of Blink 182.
Oh, really?
Which people don't even realize that Travis Barker wasn't the original drummer.
I did not know that.
I was a kid going to these shows, watching them. And then all of a sudden you're like, I think that drummer's different. And then there's one guy in the crowd. Because this is like sort of pre-internet, or the internet wasn't as big as it is now, where you could just be like, oh, wait, hold on. Let me check. Like, oh, yeah, they got a new drummer. And there's always like one burnout in the crowd like, yeah, that dude was the drummer for the Aquabats, and then they had to fire their other guy. So they brought him up, and he learned all the songs in like 45 minutes. You're like, sick. And then the rest.
That's the guy I always say, like, can you imagine if you put that mind to good use?
Right? Yeah, there's always one person who knows too much about some very hyper-specific thing, and it's always amazing.
So we have Noel here, and we're going to let you guys go here in a couple minutes because I know they have other things to do rather than talk about shitty golf, but we have some exciting news we're going to share with you guys coming soon with Noelle. Obviously, she's not able to talk about this driver that appeared on our online community yesterday. I know Adam will have it in the bag, but
is it a different brand? Is it? It's from Srixon.
It's still from Srixon. And Srixon, awesome, for those following along, does not have a T anywhere in it.
Oh.
It's my rant of the week. I cannot stand that nobody can pronounce the word Srixon for some reason.
I was one time playing at Big Rec, and I, you know, hit an errant shot, and the marshal's like, hey, is this your ball? And I said, what brand is it? And he's like, senior Ixon. And I thought he was joking, so I laughed. I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, what is this ball? I'm like, Srixon, you sell them in the clubhouse. How do you not know? Give me that. Oh my God. I'm not taking a penalty for that because you moved it.
For those that are, we're going to wrap up, but for those following, if they've made it this far, God help you.
They left. I annoyed them already.
One tip for every fantasy owner out there that's different this year from years previous.
Oh, that's different. Again, I always implore people to have a plan, but be willing to adjust. We were talking earlier about having that seventh pick. You cannot go in there with your heart set on one player. You can have your top seven players and be able to be like, okay, well then this could be very easy. But I always say have a plan. Personally, I've been trying to approach drafts where I go running back, trying to get Kyle Pitts in the third round because I think he's a unicorn.
He fucked her last, excuse my language, last
year. Oh my, I gotta go.
I reached for Kyle Pitts last year. I reached.
I'm sorry. So a tight end who had 1,000 yards did not do well for it. What is your scoring system?
Touchdowns.
Oh, my God. Touchdowns are too volatile. So Bob Tonyan 2 years ago was your MVP.
Yeah, that is true.
The Packers tight end.
Yeah, but see, here was the problem. I took Ezekiel Elliott with the first pick. It wasn't my best draft. It wasn't my best draft. I wasn't really proud of it.
I had to go fill out a keepers list. We get to keep three keepers. And I'm like, Jamar Chase as a sixth rounder. CeeDee Lamb, this has been held over for a couple of years, as like a 10th rounder. And I'm like, yeah. I go, look at me. I'm going to keep Javonte Williams, even though I don't like giving up a third rounder for him. But I'm like, And you have to go back and look at your draft from last year. I took Gus Edwards in the third round of this draft.
Oh,
Like, what was, like, how was I drinking? Like, what was going on? I want to know. I just was trying to fathom, like, what was going on in the world at that moment where Gus Edwards, I mean, it's a running offense. He was obviously going to be, he got hurt. So maybe, yeah, I guess he was going to be the number one guy, but you're like, wonder I didn't do well.
Was this before or after Dobbins was already hurt?
No, Dobbins was already hurt. Okay, this had
you
to
at least knew that. Okay, that makes it a little better. I thought maybe you didn't even know that. Really were drinking.
Yeah, it was right after Dobbins went down. Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense, actually.
Well, we want to thank you guys for coming on the show. We're going to let them get back to their regular jobs. Tune in to Adam on Twitter at Adam Rank, where he owns the name. And Noelle, you guys follow on Twitter. Make sure you do that as well, along with
Noelle's on Twitter too. She's a good follow.
She is.
I try.
Make sure you enter to win the driver that Adam plays in his bag. We got it right there. Go ahead and enter right now as we're signing off. And for myself and Morgan, thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.